Why is the promo industry has such better sales orgs than the specific apparel decorator industry?
Yeah, why are they not sales oriented compared to these promo product companies? Like, yeah, why do you think that is?
I won't make a broad stroke for everyone.
You should take stabs.
All right, pronouncers, we've got Brittany David out of Snugs USA, a $100 million plus promo products manufacturer out of Utah. Very cool story, not only about Snugs, but sales orgs. I think promo product manufacturers and distributors have incredible professionalized sales orgs. And how can apparel decorators get to that? We'll talk a little bit about the tactical things there. What was your favorite bit?
Well, I actually got to visit the Snugs facility with Brett Bowden, and Brittany gave us an amazing tour. And I think my favorite part of today's talk was talking about maybe the myths of, or the truths of, why print shops suck at promo product sales and maybe some ways to fix that. So some good takeaways from Brittany there and just great conversation.
Absolutely. And we have got the usual suspects of incredible sponsors and partners that help us dive in, which we haven't talked about yet. We still have to talk about that. Maybe that'll be the next show of Graphic Source.
Yeah. So Graphic Source is awesome. They just took me to Honduras and I got to see their amazing facility, all 600 artists. And if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you should hit them up. They offer industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management softwares. And I mean it when I say one out of every four or five computers had Printavo open when I was there. They truly, truly understand the software and can help you automate it. If it comes to SEPs, mocks, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. You can hit them up at graphicsource.com for your art staffing needs. You can also use coupon code PRINTAVOPOD24 to get 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. Thanks so much, Graphic Source.
Easy way. We're going to help Steven spend less hours cleaning screens. That is a thing of the past. Thank you, Easy Way. Thank you for inventing all our incredible innovative formulas that are designed to work quickly and effectively so you can spend less time cleaning and more time going to raves. Plus, Easy Way is passionate about empowering printers of all skill levels. They offer helpful resources and expert advice to help you succeed. Shout out to easyway.com, actually. When Steven talked about, you know, they have some really cool downloadables, they do. There's an incredible amount of resources I did not know about. So thanks, Easyway.
Speaking of raves, I am raving about Multicraft underscore daddy. Maybe Dave Eggers will come to a rave with us. Man, he gets 2,000 followers. If you want to see Dave at an EDM show, you should go to Multicraft underscore daddy and give him a follow right now. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. You can mention the Printavo podcast and receive an extra 10% off your order. They have partnered with PMI tape, and they're giving away free PMI tape on every episode. So if you DM Dave and say, I heard it on the Printavo podcast, I want to get entered to get a free case of PMI tape, he might pick you to win. Leave a nice comment on his videos and reach out to him. Thanks so much, Dave. We appreciate
you. Do you see his latest videos of him pitching products like out in the yard? Got the camo
I need to catch up on my Dave content. Yeah, it kind of looks like Lumberjack Dave.
Yeah. Lumberjack Dave. We got
Lumberjack Daddy. All right.
BMAC Industries and DTFSuperstore.com. BMAC Industries and DTF Superstore help you guys out by providing some incredible consumables to be able to help run your DTF department and their new dryer and shaker. So you guys are executing on that. Go to bmacindustries.com and you can be able to check out their top of the line equipment and technology that enhances productivity and quality. I know, Steven, you've been through the ringer with DTF and you guys work together pretty tightly now. So that definitely says something.
They've definitely been there for me in some of my deepest and darkest DTF moments. Thank you so much.
I just love the picture in my head of you with the lab coat. taking the picture by equipment, 11 o'clock at night.
My Campus Ink bathrobe with a headlamp. That was a good one. That was a good one. I posed for that one. Bruce, I want to tell you about the best new software platform to hit our industry. It's called DGI Apparel, and it was built by a group of MIT engineers with a background in screen printing. DGI allows you to connect your accounts with companies like Alpha Broder and SNS. You can compare prices, inventory, and shipping times across every apparel supplier on one website and one screen. And so the average shop spends about 2 hours purchasing every day, and DGI is going to cut that time in half. I've actually heard they're beta testing auto purchasing. So ask yourself, what would you do with an extra hour every day? And we don't have a promo code for DGI because it's free and it's always going to be free. That's right. It costs you $0 forever. And if you're not already using DGI, you're wasting your own time and money. There are over 1,500 shops using DGI. And when I say they are one of the fastest growing platforms, I truly mean it. They're adding more and more distributors and vendors. You can shop AS Color on there now. You can shop PMI tape. So check them out and let them know that we sent you. Thanks so much, DGI Apparel. Bruce, let's get to the episode. Hi, Brittany. What's going on?
What's up, dude?
Wait, so it is snowing in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City and Park City has turned into one of my favorite destinations.
It's so cool. It's so easy to get to once you land. It's like 45 minutes from the airport to the slopes.
Bruce and I do an annual ski trip, and I feel like our new just de facto is Park City.
Yes. Bruce, you've been too?
Yeah. I think 3 years in a row. Well, no, we didn't do this past year. We ended up in Colorado. Did we?
Bruce, we were there together. Yeah, yes. And we went dog sledding.
Oops. I'm doing that in 3 weeks.
That feels like last February feels like ski season feels like its own year, and then it's cut off in the summer and then it's the next one. But you're right. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but it was like 57 degrees yesterday and now it's snowing.
Yeah, we ended up, I told Steven, we ended up doing a road trip from California to go all the way back home to Chicago to see family for the holidays. And we stopped a bunch in the Utah's finest national parks, which I think Utah is the most underrated state in the U.S. For some reason, Utah doesn't market itself very much. I don't know if it's like the Mormons are like, let's keep this low key. We don't want to like blow up like Colorado or a Florida or a Texas or California or something. And I mean, Zion and Bryce Canyon and Moab, I mean, some of the most amazing places, but you know, people aren't walking around with Utah hats and Utah flags and, you know, Utah shirts. It's just not a thing.
No, it's like the best kept secret. I grew up in Dallas and then I moved here about just over 13 years ago. And before I moved, like a month before I moved, I had never even visited. And then came here, I was like, holy cow, it's really cool. You never hear anything about Utah. It's kind of like Wyoming and Montana and Idaho. I'd like put them all in the same bucket of kind of like boring states. And then they turn out to be really cool.
Yeah, it is super cool. You've had the most, so we all met at Print Hustlers Conf, which you gave an incredible talk. And that's why we wanted to talk more about that, about the promo space and helping, you know, more apparel decorators get into promo and how to do it though. Just looking at your LinkedIn though, you've had an incredible rise at your company Snugz USA. That's SNUGZUSA.com. From national account manager to chief revenue officer, which hats off. Tell us about that, because I'm sure you've seen the company started in late 80s or early 90s. So, you know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of that growing with the company. But
yeah, it started in 89. And when I came on almost 13, 14 years ago, we were about a $29 million company that did mostly lanyards. And that's how it started. So the company started doing eyewear retainers. So, you know, Chums, Crokies, those little things you put back, like you think about your dad mowing in like the 90s or late 80s with all the neon colors. So they started off making cotton eyewear retainers in an attic and went to a trade show, had one of them around the neck, had a little safety pin with a badge put on it in a booth. And somebody came up and said, oh, so you guys make lanyards. they were smart enough to say, why, yes, yes, we do. And so that kind of evolved into getting into the promo industry, doing printed lanyards, and then evolved into personal care, picked up some lines along the way. But yeah, so I've gotten to see a ton of change through the last about decade and a half. We're around 100, 112 million now, kind of depending on the year. So acquired a company 5 years ago. So lots of good stories there.
Okay.
We met. So I actually was out for the SNS show, and Brett and I were running errands the day before. And so Brett's like, do you want to come along and meet my friend Brittany? Because you guys went to high school together.
We did. We grew up since like first grade together.
Crazy. That's awesome. And so you gave us this like amazing tour. We were all wearing like scrubs and hats because like antibacterials, you guys make a bunch of stuff, which was just like mind blowing. But it was walking through one of the coolest facilities that I think I've ever been through. And I've always heard of Snugs. Like, we're members of Sage. We buy some stuff, but like, didn't realize what you all did, where you came from, that it was all, most, a lot of it was made there. And it kind of opened my eyes quite a bit to a lot of like, I was like, shit, like the printing industry needs to know about this more. So I think that was telling of it. Can you talk a little bit about what Snug specializes in now? Maybe a little bit of the stuff that you gave us on that tour.
Yeah, you bet. So we do a lot of decorating, like lanyards and stuff. But what you saw in part was our lab. So we actually do compounding, mixing, filling, labeling, like soup to nuts, the entire piece of product or personal care. So that was a fun fireside
chat
about
COVID.
In Utah, so in the facility right underneath me. So we have our own lab. So not just putting labels on lip balm and sanitizer, but truly manufacturing it downstairs. So it's very much Willy Wonka. Like Steven said, you go in, you have to put in a lab coat, you got to put a beard net on, hair net, etc. We get visited by the lovely FDA several times in the last few years to make sure that we are good to go there. But yeah, so everything from that to pens and drinkware. We have retail brands like Thermos, Empowered, which does solar panel lights, almost everything besides soft goods. I would say on the promo side of decorating tech, we span most of the categories aside from the lovely screen printer world of apparel. And we do some of that too.
Why never? Screen printing.
Holy cow. Well, you talk about inventory, right? And why people who are screen printers would want to try to decorate hard goods or soft goods. And part of it is inventory. I mean, some suppliers have done it really well, but very few can have the inventories of all of the styles, all of the sizing, the space for it. And I think you want to be good at what you do. And we're really good at screen printing hard goods. We're really good at dye sublimation. We're really good at lasering. But thinking about the risk, not saying it's not out there somewhere, but trying to get into it when so many other people already do it well is just not where we play currently.
So you're saying it's a lot easier to sell one size fits all products with one and two color designs than trying to customize 50,000 SKUs on SNS and print 100 different colors?
You know, SNS has done a freaking insane job over the last, what, 5-6 years of going from like zero to multi-million, having a fun acquisition in there. But yeah, I think that, you know, we're really good at different print methods. And so it's like, throw whatever you want. Could we screen print a shirt all day long? Do we want to get into all of the different nuances like certain printers do to make it exceptional and try to carry all the SKU sizes? Not currently.
I'm with you. It felt like we were in a breaking. It was like Breaking Bad in there. Like I was like hand sanitizer, like, and I was like, whoa, this is all made here. I thought it all just got shipped in from China and then like y'all just finished it and sent it out. And so I was just mind blown that you guys actually manufacture, produce it. You have like an R&D lab. Like I was like, oh, this is where the secret sauce is made. So it was very, very interesting.
Lots of fun stuff to learn on the compliance side too.
There's got to be a bunch of stuff that's also brought in, right? And either decorated in-house or decorated overseas. Or like, what is, how do you balance what we want to do in-house here and control here versus stuff that you make overseas?
Yeah, so we do probably single digits amount totally turnkey from China or from overseas. The reason that we do that is mostly to be competitive. So things like lanyards, sometimes people have a longer lead time and higher quantities where it just makes sense to do it turnkey overseas. But we truly like having all of the control, I guess you would say, of lead time, shipping, manufacturing. So we do some of our production in Utah, which Stephen saw, but the majority of it is actually over in Mexico. So in 2018, 2019, we opened up some facilities down there. Amazon, you talked about earlier, people moving to Utah and it kind of being a secret. People have discovered it. We've got the Silicon Slopes down in South Salt Lake now, where Facebook and Adobe and tech companies have moved in. With that brings in Amazon and a lot of other manufacturing. So where we are in West Jordan, we've got Boeing, we've got Amazon, we've got tons of buildings that are pulling from the same labor pool. So we realized very quickly if we wanted to be able to stay competitive and we wanted to expand, we needed to open up kind of south of the border to be able to control labor costs and what we could do to be able to scale and still fit the pricing model that we have for our customers.
How does that work? Like more specifically, because I've heard larger shops also do that where it's like, oh, we get as close as we can basically to the border and that way we can bring stuff pretty quickly. But like, specifically, what does that mean? Like when we, you know, okay, we have part of the business over there. Are you shipping directly from there? Is it easier to truck it in then ship? Like how does something like that look like?
Oh yeah. So we transload. So we bring it into California, ship some of the goods over the border and then manufacture. And we're in Juarez. So we can do multiple runs across the border. So we can basically, we take all of our manufacturing, figure out how to do it same day or overnight. We have most of our products are available on next day turns. So you just have to be really good at being efficient from picking to decorating to artwork to crossing the border. So it doesn't come without its challenges and a lot of learning. You're in a different country with different regulations and it's wild, wild west out there sometimes. So is it easy? No. To be a pretty smart people that want to figure it out? Yes. So.
And that's probably a big manufacturing area too. Like I got to imagine there's it's a, you know, manufacturing park almost.
Massive.
Yeah. And that's where like Bruce, a lot of cut and sew facilities are there and they'll ship out of San Diego, but they're in Tijuana. So like Brittany, do you run the trucks across the border? Is that your specialty?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to hire
you just
me
got
for
back
driving.
From California.
Put me on the creative side. Don't put me on a
Brittany
truck.
Brittany was running trucks across the border. She's the detail expert there. Okay. So Brittany, I think what's really interesting for our listeners, and I could probably relate to a lot of shops, is promo products makes up a small percentage of our business. We offer it. And sometimes it only makes up 10%. And we always say to ourselves, we should really get into promo more. It's so easy. Like, and every year this always comes back into conversations. Yeah, we should really be doing more promo. Would you say like the Snugs customer base are screen printers and decorators that like have this as an auxiliary business? Or do you feel like it's more brokers that just focus on promo and hard goods?
I would say the majority of our business comes from people that are focused on promo. I would guess 30%+ though are the one-off, two-off, dabbling in. And I think that it's growing because people see it as a revenue generator.
Well, you said 30%, is that?
Yeah. I mean, you've got the tail, right? They talk about the 80-20 rule. I think that the 20 is probably closer to 30, just guessing.
That's still significant. That's a lot more. We talk about some of the hobbyists, we'll call it market, but you know.
You've got the hobbyist, you've got the people that from COVID said, holy cow, our business died. How do we resurrect and figure out another revenue stream? And the thing with the screen printers are you already have the customer base and you already have the trust. And I think that those two things of how to figure out customer acquisition and how to build trust and have those relationships are two things that are really challenging for somebody to just immediately dive into promo.
And so like as shops are thinking about the new year, I would challenge them to think because, you know, profitability and outsourcing more and bringing in new revenue streams, like that was a big talk at Print Hustlers. And I think this is just something that we have always put on the wayside, but could be a huge opportunity. Like I was just searching in our inbox for like how often we order from Snugs and it's like randomly. I didn't even know we ordered from them. I guess, why do you think that is that print shops just, I don't want to say turned a blind eye to it, but like they don't prioritize it, but yet it's such an easy way to make money and they already have the customer base there ordering t-shirts. Why do you think that phenomena actually happens? Like, you would think it would be different, right?
Yeah, I think if it's not a priority in your bread and butter, it's easy to go back to what you do well and what you can control. And there is a learning curve getting into it, right? Figuring out who do you want to partner with? What are all of the random charges or decoration methods that you're not familiar with? And a lot of education up front that it's like, that might only be $100, $200 order. I'll move to something else. But if you have time to be able to focus on kind of learning the industry, learning what else your customers are buying, it becomes fairly easy. And like you said, it's all turnkey stuff that aside from the art and the management with your customer, you don't have to touch. You don't have to inventory. You don't have to worry about those other logistics.
It's interesting. I had an employee that came from not Halo, but one of those companies where they were all just brokers. And she put together a promo product 101 for us of like, okay, this is how you order. This is what buying on a C means versus the D versus the like. It was like overture.
What is
promotions.
That?
That's like the different price brackets. Brady, yeah, do you want to give us like promo for dummies?
Yeah, please. Because you just were starting to go, but you're like, trying to remember
it too. And so she literally made us a PowerPoint. We had to do a lunch and learn. And she'd worked at like Overture before, which is like a huge promo company. I don't know what you call them, but I felt really stupid because I'm like, wow, this isn't very hard. I just don't know the lingo.
Yeah.
Could you give us like dummy 101 on it? In like 2 minutes of what shops need to know getting into it?
Yeah, you had mentioned that you do business with Sage. So first of all, you probably need a search engine because ChatGPT and Google are not going to get you the manufacturers and suppliers like us that you need to be able to partner with. You need to understand what the pricing codes are. Like you said, there's a C and an R and a V. You would need to understand what your margin is and what you need to sell to be able to not only quote your customer, but figure out how you make money in it. You should have ideally 40% margin.
Gross profit.
Yep. Or at least that's what you're working with, not including your time and different things, but on a turnkey product, 30 to 40%, most will sell with 40% margin. And then you can upcharge if you do fulfillment or other things to add to it. But that should pretty much be your baseline and what people are working with.
Should 40% also include shipping and setup?
No. If you're doing shipping for free, I think you're crazy.
Because shipping like 1,000 water bottles is really costly.
1,000 water bottles is way different than 1,000 pens or 1,000 lanyards. So to try to make a one size fits all for things like that, and it could be a competitive advantage depending on what your shipping rates are, and on smaller orders that take up less space or larger, it could be a competitive advantage if you figure it out. But going out of the gate and promo, trying to give everything away for free to gain business is risky. It could work out, or you could do a lot of work up front without a lot of return on it for the effort.
Okay, so something you talked about there is you need to have a search engine. So in the promo world, the industry is very well protected, right? So like one of my customers from a PTO can't really call up Snugs and place an order. Can you explain the whole protection and how like you are truly for trade? And it's different than screen printers. Screen printers might argue that there's Jiffy Shirts and some of these other companies that whatever. But can you talk about how the promo industry is well protected and guarded and why that's there?
Yeah, you bet. So there are probably three main industry identifiers for promo. So Sage, ASI, and PPAI. So if someone were to call in Snugs, for example, we would ask what their one of those numbers are, what their customer number was, because they if they're a current customer, they usually have that available, or we could search them by company. If all of a sudden they can't give you any of that information, we usually can sniff it out to figure out it's an end user. If we started taking that business, we'd probably piss off most of our customers as soon as they found out. So it's just not best practices. Some suppliers are set up to be able to do business both ways. Some of them are super transparent and some of them have kind of found a way around it. It's an interesting business model. Like you said, it's very protected. I think that means it's also really ripe for disruption. But we've been talking about that for probably a decade plus, maybe even more than that. You know, back before the internet, all you could do is look at catalogs. So it was super challenging. Now you can find just about anything you want on the internet, which gives it just a little bit more recipe for potential disaster, but currently it's super protected.
Did you guys used to send out a ton of catalogs?
Like, oh my gosh, style? Yeah. Oh yeah. We had like yearbook photos at the beginning.
And so if a customer were to go to snugsusa.com, like an end user, and they went on the website and they saw, okay, there's 24 ounce thermoses and you can buy them as low as 1138 on a C. What that actually means is if you were to, it's like 60% of that number or something, like there's like a chart, right? And so you can speak in code so that your customers don't know code. It's like this, right? Isn't that
how
it works?
You can. Well, and it used to be that you would use an R and then people figured out what an R was. So they changed it to a C. And so it's convoluted, but not that convoluted. I mean, you're a few clicks away from figuring out what price coding is. But for you, at least it's not right in their face what that discounted price is. Instead, it shows MSRP, which people usually take for face value.
Gotcha. And so then, Brittany, like how... So for instance, my entire sales team, they log into ASI and they are just... or their Sage account, and it's just like overwhelming. And how do you differentiate in a world of where there's so many companies that sell a lot of these things, how do you differentiate yourself? Like you might not even be the cheapest or the fastest, but like, doesn't that annoying when it's just saturated with like, you don't even know what you're clicking sometimes?
It's super annoying, and I'm sure it's annoying to search. I think there's areas in that have a rating system. So similar to Amazon, where you might have a 5-star or an A or A plus rating. There's different ways that you can search and narrow down your results too, if you had wanted to look for minority owned or veteran owned. And so there's different filters that as you being a user, you can go through to kind of narrow down who you want to do business with. I believe the number one filter for Sage, at least it used to be, was A or A plus suppliers. So you're already taking people who have been kind of vouched for by other people to start
and
there.
And that's self-rated to get an A plus? Or?
It's rated by people like you that would be using the search engine. So anybody
who have placed an order?
Yeah. So the customer base is really voting for who they think is superior.
Which I'm sure gets gamed just like Amazon or maybe Yelp at some point. But
they try to keep it as honest as they can. But of course, people could ask for ratings or try to reward, no doubt.
Steven, do you guys keep a direct... Because that was a great question. Someone asked, I remember at the end of your talk, we want to get more into it. But like that, you search Waterbot on ASI and it's... yeah, mentally can be a bit overwhelming. Do you like at Campus Inc? Do you guys, and I don't know how much like custom versus you guys do a lot more retail stuff now, but do you keep a directory then of, okay, here's a top 5 water bottle options that we try to stick 80% of our inquiries to, or is it really one off back and forth with the vendor each time?
We need to be better. This is like a big point of growth. Like our sales reps spend a lot of time with reps from distributors like SNS, Alpha, Sanmar, Charles River, you name it. They don't spend enough time with people like from Brittany's company or like Hit Promo or all of these different ones. And so a lot of times we're just searching in the void and then we'll be like, oh, that's Snugs. Yeah, we've ordered from them before. They're good. Go ahead. Or be careful. That's China. Like that's going to take 30 days by whatever. And so I just feel like it's a lack of, it's like this mutual lack of like, we sort of know who to talk to, but we sort of don't, but we sort of know some of the key names. And so like, you know, like we'll build a couple relationships, but it's just, there's no focus or emphasis on it unless you have like one employee in your shop and that's all they do, like the promo expert. I don't know if that is, I don't know, Brittany, what do you see from your end? That's just my experience.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if people are trying to look for who they should, you guys go to the PPAI Expo and it's still a massive show. But part of it's based on relationships. So whether you're small or larger, it's who you connect with, what you see in the booth, how you know how to call someone and don't become just a number. There's also lists like the PPAI 100 that are some of the top, and it will show you why they're rated for 100. It's not just on gross sales. It could be on compliance, you know, why are they esteemed? ASI has a list of 50. It's a good starting place, right? You can either filter through Sage or ASI, or you could start with that list and figure out what are these suppliers good at? You know, someone like me would say, please meet with me or our VP of sales or what state are you in to connect to an inside rep and outside rep to understand what are we good at, why are we good at it, and also figuring out what tools the suppliers have to offer. So I think we had talked about this a few months ago, but you can sit here and try to do all of the design and the artwork and figure it out. Or you could say, hey, I need something that's under $5. Hey, show me all of the options that you have that are pens that fit within this budget. Hey, here's the color that I'm looking for. I have a full color logo, and utilize the suppliers that you can narrow down to figure out what tools they offer so you don't take it all on yourself, because some of it is product related, right? Who is my pen person? Who is my drinkware person? Who is my lip balm person? Who is my lanyard person? But also who do I go to for under a dollar? Who do I go to when I need something for under a week? And I think if you can start refining what that is and have a personal contact there, it's a lot easier to say, this is the human that I have to go to with that company. And then they get to know you better, and then they can reach out proactively too, because they understand your customer base.
It's almost like you have to turn into the expert for your customer, because like you're competing against, and here's what happens to us is a lot of times people will send us stuff from 4imprint, and I'll just be like, we can't beat that. Sorry. Like just go to 4imprint. How do you deal with like now that the industry is moving to more, you know, self-help and they can just go order online? Like you can order promo products, you can order printed golf tees on Amazon, right? And so like, how do you differentiate yourself as a print shop in a commoditized space that's becoming easier to go to the end user? Like we are essentially getting cut out over time.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on your same thought process. If somebody truly knows what they want, let them go that route. Trying to convince somebody else or upsell them or something just seems a little bit used car salesman-y to me, of like, hey, if that works for you and you got what you wanted, continue to go that route. But what sets you apart? So if you, for example, are decorating shirts for an event, just asking the simple questions of like, what's this for? Are you buying anything else with the logo on it? Do you have a budget for marketing? It's really becoming inquisitive with your customers to figure out how you can be an advocate and help them on the creative side instead of just transactional. Because yes, you can buy pens and water bottles all day long, and people can go search online all day long and get that without your assistance. So where is your value add to do business with them?
Are there sales tactics that either of you guys have started to either see or push? I mean, those are a great starting point. But if I remember, I even think, Steven, I think like a few years ago, you guys were like, we've got some good margin products. How do we sell more? And you guys were just brainstorming as a team. You know, was it like, is it sampling kits? Is it asking those good questions? What maybe, Steven, what did you find that works? And then I want to kick that to you after, Brittany.
Yeah. So something that we did, anytime a customer places a bulk order, we send them an email like 1 or 2 days later saying, do you need any promo products with your Campus Ink order? And it comes from me and it says, thanks so much for placing an order. While you're ordering merch, I wanted to let you know we have a full line of curated promo products. You can find our catalog here. You can just reply back to this email and we can easily put your logo on something else while you're getting your merch. And that will generate like 3 to 5 leads a month, like good leads. And that just runs in the background. And that was just my way of saying like, how do I just let every customer know that we can do this without putting a lot of stress on my team to like push it. So that was just like one thing that we've done is promo, I feel like, sells through a lot of email marketing. And so we've just been kind of amping up the email marketing side of things. Brittany, what about yourself?
Yeah, very similar. A lot of it is still transactional through email. And we're one step removed because we're not selling directly to your customer. So whenever we do virtuals, for example, we might take that logo and create 2 extra ones that are you might also like. So maybe you're buying lanyards, but we know they're probably going to an event. Maybe we create a tablecloth or a lip balm or something else that we know might fit if we don't have any other background. We might create different storyboards. So if a customer calls in and says, hey, this is the event, here's what we're doing, just get super creative. We might say, hey, here's your under a dollar items. Here are the more premium items. Have you looked at if they're going to a trade show? Do they need a pen and a bag and a giveaway? Like, what are those types of things that we can be an asset to just throw it out there to be able to be pushed without any other effort from the distributor that can make them look like a hero? And showcasing new product, right? Like, people know to order pens or they know to order shirts, but do you know to order a solar light, fun, empowered thing that you see on Instagram and RVs and stuff. Oh no, I didn't realize I could get that logo. Well, you can, but people aren't necessarily asking for those things.
So Brittany, you'll literally make the mock-ups for them without asking. When I was in Honduras with Graphic Source, I didn't realize how much of Graphic Source works in the promo world of just mock-up generation. And so for shops that use Graphic Source, when an order goes through, you could have them mock it up on four or five promo products and just put a flyer in the bottom of every Printavo order. Like, that would be such an easy way to do that. But you kind of have to automate it, right? It has to be once an order gets placed, drop the logo in, send them three new products, and it just runs in the background. Do you feel like that has been one of the ways you've like grown top line? Like, you've obviously helped grow the company almost threefold since you joined it. What are some other things that you think that have attributed to the growth at Snugs?
Yeah, I know it sounds cheesy, but it's so true, is we have some freaking good people all across the company. So the trust in the sales piece of it and the relationships through production and getting people who really care to produce quality products, like sales can sell all day long, but if you produce a bunch of crap, like, you're kind of hosed right after that initial order. We've got a great PD team, but also we're really investing in tech. And I wouldn't say that we're at the forefront of it. There are people that are definitely ahead of us, but we can create tools and do virtuals and stuff. But we're also working on self-serve tools. So if you just wanted to go to our website and download what are your top 10 items that we should be selling and print your logo yourself, because you don't want to send an email or make a call. And so we're really kind of trying to hit both ends of, if you want to serve yourself, how can we give you tools to do that and do it easily? And same thing with us. If you just want to send stuff over to us, how do we make you look like a hero without having to do anything besides send a logo and maybe some specs if you have it? We're looking at a lot of automation. So not just on the shop floor for efficiency, but you know, if you email us, you probably don't want 7 or 12 emails. You probably would like it to be streamlined a little bit. And I think that's an area of our industry that's still kind of antiquated, is that shopping cart Amazon feeling. And so we've been putting a lot of effort into that just from efficiency, because everybody can move on to their next task a lot faster, whether it's getting home and enjoying dinner with your family when things are more streamlined and you have less kind of back and forth on different things.
Like, Bruce, have you ever put together a PO for promo products? Do you know how to place a purchase order?
Through your login, yeah, I have.
Do you know where to start?
I mean, I love the good old credit card authorization PDF. So I'm like, okay, well, let me use my credit card that I could throw away the number. So that one's good to go. Yeah, it was just so manual. The back and forth was a lot, but I figured that it was what it was. You said our PD team was very helpful. What's that?
Product development. So aside from just offering commodity stuff, which we do because people buy a lot of commodity stuff, it's, you know, who can we partner with in retail, or what kind of new products are cutting edge that we should be bringing to show people we can do cooler stuff than just the norm that's been going on for the last 10, 20, 30 years.
You mentioned you have a really good sales team, good relationships. Is that where are you doing, you know, in our space, most of the sales, if not all, are very inbound and are referral driven, repeat customers. I'm sure, you know, you see 80-20 with repeat customers once you get them in the door, but wanting to grow, especially hitting the growth that you guys have hit, is that through, you know, there's the basics of trade shows, I'm sure some SEO here and there, being in ASI and being a top rated, you know, vendor there and PPI and so on. Is there more also manual outbound efforts, things like that, that you see that have added value to your bottom line?
Yeah, it's both. It's a lot of selling more to who you have the relationships with, kind of on this flip side of if you're screen printing shirts and apparel, selling more to them. And then there's approach. I mean, we focused heavily this year on new customers. You know, where were they coming from? How do we do more business with them intentionally? A lot of it's data driven. So getting an IT team that can help you really understand that aside from the knowledge that you have. But I mean, kind of like Steven said, you know, Brett was like, hey, you want to come see Snugs? He's like, yeah, sure. Do we even do business with them? You know, it's a lot of these decorators and people. How do you figure out who they are and who really wants to do promo? And how do you help them and become an advocate? And I think that that's kind of, you know, where do we want to show up next year? What shows do we want to do for new customer, you know, acquisition, where it was a lot easier when you had a set of customers that you could just sell more to. When budgets seem drier, you kind of look to see, you know, who else.
What about on that data? Like you said, you go deeper into there to figure out, like, what does that mean? Is that, oh, this category is growing, we need to spend marketing dollars on it? Or what exactly do you look at?
Man, it's really dumb, simple stuff that we just didn't previously have transparency to the data. So we can run data sets on who bought Lanyards from us last year but didn't buy drinkware. Who bought drinkware from us 6 months ago that hasn't done an order with us at all in the last 6 months, to really identify who's potentially churning. Before that, it was just so much inbound stuff to keep up with that it was a lot easier to just do what was coming to you aside from your outbound efforts. Now we're a lot more intentional with who's buying what haven't they bought, et cetera, to really mine our own database of customers.
That's like the ChatGPT bot. Stephen and I were messing around with data. And you had that same question.
Yeah, like Kevin Baumgart teaches a lot of our sales team. And one of the things like he'll say is like, it's easier to get a customer to buy twice than a customer to buy for the first time. Right. And so, you know, like looking at repeat sales and finding people that are already in your ecosystem and just doubling down on them takes way less effort than going, educating someone on the company, getting them to place the first order, making sure that order goes well. Like, I feel like as screen printer, like in our industry, we don't maybe focus on repeat business as much as we should have, and just doubling down on whoever buys from us. So it's interesting, like, even if you don't have the data points, just thinking about your current customer base, I think is just one way to level it up. Bruce, you were going to say something?
And if anybody wants to try this out, shoot me an email, bruce@printavo.com. But we built a test like ChatGPT bot that you upload order data to as you can upload your Printavo CSV order. I'm sure you could train it to use others too. But, and we asked this question, I mean, we tested it on Canvas Inc.'s info, which was, okay, in 2023, who were the top 10 customers that in 2024 decreased in the amount that they ordered? And also give me their associated sales rep. And 10 seconds later, you've got this list. I mean, it's unbelievable to be able to see that so quickly that it would take me 6 hours and 35 Google searches to be able to figure that type of stuff out. So, I mean, just the data to be able to see that. You're right. That is great data sets of where, you know, who can we get ahead of preemptively that is churning to be able to reach back out.
Brittany, as we talk about this like small disconnect between the promo world and the screen printing world, is there any thought in like making a statement at like ISS Long Beach or something like that, or doing promo 101 for dummies, like promo for screen printers, or just something that really attacks that problem of why is this a problem? It's because you don't know about us, but we're cousins, but we want to do something about it. Is there any thought at doing anything that kind of starts to cross from like the whole PPAI world to the ISS world?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, yes, I would be happy to do that. I know that PPAI and some others have done it in the past. And I think part of it is it has to be welcomed, because it's really easy to get busy in your current business. And as soon as you get busy in your current business, on don't want to focus on that, because it does require focus intentionally to want to expand, and for someone to commit to those things. But it's easy to do, to ask just a series of questions too. Like, we talked about this, but like, do you buy pens? Like, almost everybody buys pens. Like, what is a segment that people are buying in promo that opens up that conversation besides just the soft goods and t-shirts, to be able to figure out how can you possibly get into it and figure out who's your favorite pen vendor and why, and what's your dollar pen and your 50 cent pen and your 30 cent pen. You can get really laser focused on one product or one category and start that way. Or you can start with a customer and say, what are all of the products that you bought last year that had your logo on it? Like, if you have the trust, right, you're not just cold calling on people, but you have people that want to do business with you, it's easy to ask them basic questions that don't take a lot of effort on their part to start to open that door and figure where you have success and lean into it. Because I don't think it's a one size fits all, but like you had said, you've got to figure out, who are the suppliers? How do you sign up to search for product? What are pricing codes? What are decoration methods you should be aware of if you don't do them in-house? there's definitely some 101 to get you off the ground. That I think a lot of education is there, but it has to be people who want to do it, and it's not ancillary, because once you get it churning, it's repeat orders. I would say our orders over 30%, I think it's between 30 and 40% are repeat orders. People order them, it goes into a program, they order it again. So as soon as you get that business established, it is easy residual revenue coming in, but it takes some effort up front to figure out how to kind of dial it in to make it work.
Why is the promo industry has such better sales orgs than the specific apparel decorator industry?
That's a good question.
I feel like there's these companies, I mean, the ones you mentioned, Steven, Halo, Overture, you guys, I mean, these companies are big, and I feel like it's a next level. Okay.
I want to hear Brittany first.
Oh, you guys, Steven, what's your theory? Brittany,
why do screen printers why are they not sales oriented compared to these promo product companies? Why do you think that is?
I won't make a broad stroke for everyone.
You should take stabs.
And I won't say lazy, because I don't think it's being lazy, but especially if you're a screen printer that starts off and it's 1 to 5 people, and you have maybe an accountant, maybe some manufacturing, and maybe a salesperson. It's hard to get people in on a commission only structure to want to just sell something that they're not good at. So it takes somebody either innovative. Steven, like you said, you brought someone in who was already doing it. You have to know to look for someone who's already been doing it to bring it in. But it takes effort and time and money. And it's always expensive to get into something else if you aren't the expert. I think that it's easy to do, you know, I have all the control. I know how to make this. I know how to manufacture. I know how to move things around. I know how to schedule. But promo is a ton of different products and a ton of different knowledge to be an expert in. And it seems hard, which is why promotional distributors love it. It's hard. It's not easy. There's a barrier to
enter.
Do you
think it's the commission structure and the knowledge needed to just sell apparel, like, gets very, complicated to pitch, Ferg?
I think it's because screen printers spend too much time printing t-shirts, like physically. When you get into the screen printing industry, you are usually behind a screen printing press, and you are pulling ink, and you are shipping shirts out, and in your spare time, you are answering emails and trying to sell. If you are a promo product broker and you're a single operator, like Bruce's promo product broker, he starts his own company, the only thing he can do is sell, because someone else is producing it. So what is he going to do with his time? He's going to educate himself, talk to people like Snugs, and go and sell. I think it's just a completely different mental shift that screen printers are too busy being screen printers and will never get out and sell, because they're stuck in the ink. That was my meaner way of saying it. Sorry.
Yeah, it's what makes
I just
them
like
money,
every
right?
time I see it, I'm just like, damn, you know, the promo's like, it's the level up. It's like where we got to move into. It's the professionalized orgs. It's the bigger companies. These companies have been around for a long time. Appears to be pretty profitable.
Bruce, if you had 50 grand, if we gave a shop 50 grand, most shops would go buy a piece of equipment. A promo shop would go hire a sales rep.
What would you do with 50? Okay. Back when you, let's say going back 15 years, you know, I don't know. You talked about the company's a lot smaller than 50 grand. What is the best spend at Snugs at that time? And maybe that's hard to say. Like maybe it's a $5 million company. If you can like picture yourself at that point, 50 grand, here's a check. Brittany, what's the first thing you would say we need to take this money and spend it on?
IT. Figuring out how to make processes simpler. I think that everybody with an asterisk, 99%+ of suppliers and distributors are inefficient and would do better at investing in their IT. Some people have done it really well, and they're the ones who you watch are continuing to grow exponentially and higher than the curve because of the investments they put in IT to simplify the process. They know they're good at pulling a screen. They know they're good at compliance. They know they have great salespeople or great marketing. But it's that underlying piece that you didn't see. I mean, marketing too, right? It's who do you want to market to? You talked about ChatGPT and OpenAI and everything just blows my mind. But the power of the IT and the data to tell you where to point instead of just marketing everywhere or trying to overcome everything and reach out to everybody, when you have a better focus, but you have data to give you what that is instead of just your intuition, it really makes you a more powerful engine on where to focus your time.
Bruce, what about you? 50 grand.
50 grand back in the day, it would 100% been an auto. mean, when I was thinking way back, you know,
Bitcoin
thinking, but that was a thought process, right? Oh, I can get more orders out in the day. That makes sense. I spend 50 at some point, pay that off and keep moving forward.
If you could blow 50 grand on a year for a year on a base salary of an entry level account executive, and they could bring in $500,000 of revenue, right? Like, who cares how manual the process is? If you have to print it manually or outsource it, or if you have to process the POs, you'll figure out those bottlenecks. But the one thing you can't get back are those lost sales, right? And so I think now print shops are investing more in sales and marketing. I think for a long time, it was always internal. And you know, you can't grow by doing the same thing over and over again. So it's super eye-opening. I think about this a lot.
Yeah, I think if I were investing it in sales, it would be a new person who is highly educated to understand the business and mine churning customers, figure out new customers, put together a marketing strategy to figure out new leads and make it valuable to reach out. Because if that's all they have to do day in and day out, they don't have any bad behavior of what they got into the weeds previously to just go through and add value. I think that that's just all found money.
You said that one mistake was you felt putting a commission, like 100% commission plan sales rep, was not like one of the things holding people back. Is that because it should be more base plus commission, like a mix 50-50 or like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody. We're all ish the same age, right? And I can't think of like my friends' kids that are maybe in high school or college right now, kind of getting older, that anybody's like, yeah, you know what I want to go do? Start with $0 and work for somebody else to hope that I get an upside and that there's not a bait and switch there, right? So unless you've met someone who started at $0 and you have trust in a plan and you have the resources to get to it, people still have to pay rent. They have certain things that they have to cover. So going into something that's just commission only is like, how the heck am I going to pay my bills? So even if it switched to commission only or way heavier on commission, to get somebody up and running and educated to be effective, I mean, there's a huge amount of education to go into selling. You like people that are hungry, and usually hungry people end up becoming the best, but they have to start somewhere. But I think the mentality in the past for some people is, well, I don't want to invest any money in them. I just want to make money off of them. And so I think it's got to be a win-win on what are the goals and what gets you up and what can you pay your bills for and how do you get to the upside that you believe in. And then you can talk about negotiating what pay looks like. You know, some people might go off on their own. And I think that that's a threat too of, well, if they get too good, what are they going to need me for? Right.
Interesting.
Stephen, how do you keep people?
Base salary, actually a smaller commission and more of a base salary. And you know, we have a younger workforce, but I believe it takes anywhere from 6 to 9 months to ramp up a salesperson before they can really start. You know, you're going to lose money on them for the first 6 months. And then 6 to 9 months, maybe they start breaking even, but they don't really mature until like, I feel like 12 months. And it's not like month 12 to 18 until they're paying themselves off plus some. And you have to float them to get there. It's an investment. I'm curious what you think the ramp up time is for a salesperson in promo. Like say we were to hire a promo person January 1, when do you think they start? Yeah, walk us through what like a whole year would look like in your eyes, because I think this is something we talk about a lot.
Yeah, I think your timeline's pretty accurate to be truly effective. I think in 2 to 3 months, they should be educated enough to figure out what they want to focus on of what are codes, what's compliance, what are the questions to ask, what do I do once somebody says yes, what are the next steps? So I think like 2 to 3 months, they can start kind of gaining some traction. But I think at 6 months, they're probably cranking on their own. In a year, they probably got enough under their belt to really start to take off, lean on other people less, understand the basics, and just grow from there.
So if you had 50 grand and you could hire an account executive to just focus on promo, what you're effectively saying is month one, you're going to lose 5 or 6,000. Month two, you're going to lose 5 or 6,000. Month three, and then they're going to start putting in orders. And so really, like, they might break even from months 3 to 6, but once they can bring in more than $5,000 of gross profit, they're effectively starting to increase your net and your top line. So like, it's a really good investment to hire a dedicated promo person for your shop, I think.
Yeah. And if you want to get really wild, you think about someone like, your business has been growing crazy, right, Stephen? I can't remember if you guys still have a ton of people in the office, or if you're, I believe you said you were hybrid, but do you have a ton in the office?
No one's here today. We've got about 25 desks out there. Now there's probably 3 or 4 in. But yeah, we're hybrid, and we have but yeah, there's about 25 seats here in Chicago for people.
So you think about someone like me to hire someone at 50 grand to put in your office, because there's going to be some interaction every single day. If you had buy-in and said, hey, yeah, I've got a desk, or you pay for this, whatever, to put in, essentially Snugs could be your go-to to help mine, not only physically there, but also, hey, go call Brittany. She's sitting at the desk over there. Oh, Brittany's back in the office. I mean, I think there's room for partnership too, for people who are open to that, that should ROI fairly quickly both ways just by presence of a growing company, right?
Yeah. Something that we think about for sure. Bruce, what do you got?
Brittany, last thing I want to touch on, which I found fascinating at your talk, was you mentioned office, home goods, and some other interesting upsells that you guys are helping companies push. Can you just talk a little bit about that story? I think it was Texas A&M or it was somewhere, but I found it really cool.
Texas A&M. So was it office and home goods, or was it A&M and Grapevine High School? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I know you sent you showed the website, and it had way more categories than I've seen on someone, you know, pitching custom promo products to someone.
Okay. So I was talking about, I went to Grapevine High School, and I was a cheerleader, and we did our 100 year cheerleading reunion in like September, October, and I couldn't go. And so I went and Googled like what the merch shop looked like, and no offense, or maybe take some, it looked like garbage. Like, it was only one size looking fits all t-shirts and sweatshirts. It was the same designs that were there probably when I was in high school, and not because they're retro, because it hadn't evolved. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just buy like a keychain or a cup or something, because I'm not going to wear any of this apparel. It's kind of heinous. And there was no promo on there. And I'm like, what the crap? So I did go to Texas A&M. And so I was kind of doing a comparison where I could Google A&M merch or A&M swag or anything like that. And you can go to probably 5-10 different websites that show really cool stuff with the A&M logo, which I have bought stuff all year long and the year before with A&M, because I love the logo. I love the brand. And so I buy all sorts of swag. I'm in the swag business, and I still go do that. And so it's interesting when you do a comparative to drop downs, kind of segueing into, you know, it's not just t-shirts. You could go through and say, what do I want for home goods? And there might be a cool pint glass or wine glasses that are etched, or a corkscrew or a cutting board. I could go through and say, you know, I want something in my office. Well, where am I going to put my business cards? Well, I can put them in something with A&M on it, because I would like to have one of these anyway. But it's interesting, aside from just the apparel side, which I keep buying apparel because apparel keeps changing and they have cool stuff and cool designs or cool sayings or whatever it is. But they really penetrated all of the other different places, like your home, like your office, like pets. I had a friend buy me a pet bandana with A&M on it this year. It's just, if a person loves a brand, there's so much more than just apparel, and so much more that you can showcase on a website for people to go in and want to spend their money on.
Do you all want to see the coolest promo product that I got as a gift? It's a flask as a Pantone color.
That's cool. Campus
should make
Pantone.
These.
Orange.
Yeah. And it was like, wait, that's sick. It's a Pantone color. It's a flask. And I was like, every artist and creative, you should make this at Snugs.
Love that.
You should.
Did you try to match it?
No, I didn't try to see if it was a color match. But to your point, like, I was just looking around my desk. I'm like, there's a candle, there's a reed diffuser. Like, there's so much, and there's nice stuff too. It's not just like junk. Okay, Brittany, if people want to get in touch with you, or shops want to learn more, what's the best way yeah, what's the best way to learn more about Snugs?
Yeah, you can reach out to me directly at Brittany, it's Brittany, at Snugs, SNUGZUSA.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. But yeah, I would love to chat promo gospel to anybody who wants to make time. I'm happy to dedicate my time to help educate you, not just on Snugs, but on the industry. I feel like so many people have given back to me on my journey that I'm happy to help wherever I can. So definitely reach out to me if you're interested.
Okay, last question. What was Brett Bowden like in high school?
Oh my gosh, I love Brett. Brett and I were such nerds, right? My friend, Michelle Bell, she calls him Promo Jesus because he's got his long red hair. But Brett was just always just, I say nerdy, but nerdy cool, and that he always did his own thing. He was always on the upsets of like cool new bands and was always just a super nice and smart guy. We connected randomly at an ASI show. So I was sitting there at Snugs, probably year one or year two, working a booth. And I could feel this guy staring at me from like 20 feet away, which was super awkward.
The hair slowly blowing
back. The Brett Bowden stare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I looked and made eye contact. I'm like, holy cow, it's Brett. So we reconnected. He's a super cool dude. Cool family.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Brittany, thanks so much for being able to share all of this. We'll drop your info down in the description below. Print Hustlers, we appreciate you guys joining us on another weekly episode. It's been such an amazing journey. This is our last one that we're actually recording in 2024. So we're thanking you 52 episodes later. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next year. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.